A single book selling over a million copies in 3 months tells us something profound about the American moment. Not because it offered easy answers or comfortable truths, but because it named something many felt but couldn't articulate, a creeping sense that the country's foundational principles were under coordinated assault. What's happening isn't just political disagreement or the natural pendulum swing of democratic debate. It's something far more systematic, the deliberate dismantling of the ideas that made America possible in the first place. America was founded on a radical principle that individuals possess inherent rights. Government exists to protect those rights, and power must be limited and dispersed. Today's counter-revolution operates under friendlier labels like equity and social justice, but aims to replace individual liberty with collective control and constitutional limits with centralized authority. Unlike classical Marxism's economic focus, American Marxism captures institutions rather than storming gates. Groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa provide visible disruption, but the real transformation occurs in boardrooms, newsrooms, and classrooms, where traditional American values are reframed as oppressive. Corporate leaders who once championed free markets now partner with political autocrats, securing positions through regulation and favoritism. What makes this ideology seductive despite catastrophic failures across the Soviet Union, China, and Cuba? It offers external blame. The unsuccessful can attribute struggles to systemic oppression rather than personal choices. This victim mentality creates moral righteousness. The allegedly oppressed become oppressors, wielding disproportionate cultural power. Meanwhile, America's useful idiots remain unalarmed, unable to believe their country could succumb to despotism even as constitutional principles erode. Mass movements promise to serve the people while systematically erasing individual identity. They categorize humans into rigid groups based on immutable characteristics, then demand absolute loyalty to group identity over personal conscience. This particularly attracts the alienated, offering them purpose through collective identity and shared animosity toward designated enemies. Social media has turbocharged this dynamic, creating compact, impassioned masses where individuals feel intensely connected despite never meeting. Individual thinking disappears as participants adopt collective character, language, and beliefs. Antifa members in identical black uniforms or BLM activists reciting identical talking points demonstrate this erasure in real time. This enforced conformity has metastasized into cancel culture, coordinated campaigns of firing, public shaming, and social media banning against dissenters. The intellectual foundations trace to Rousseau and Marx, who advocated subjugating individual rights to an abstract collective good. Mass movements attract those who find purpose in self-renunciation rather than personal achievement, expressing particular hostility toward happy, successful individuals whose existence challenges the narrative of societal corruption. By 1989, Marxist academics had transformed from outsiders to insiders through deliberate institutional capture. Early progressives like Herbert Croly and John Dewey laid the groundwork, arguing Americans must be prepared to sacrifice that traditional vision of their country. Croly claimed economic individualism created individual bondage, an Orwellian inversion characteristic of American Marxism. John Dewey transformed education into social activism, declaring, "We are in for some kind of socialism," and praising Stalin's Soviet Union for making schools the ideological arm of the revolution. Today, students learn disdain for their country's founding rather than allegiance to its ideals. Herbert Marcuse became the prophet of 1960s student activism, arguing that tolerance itself serves oppression. When Americans rejected their republic's dissolution, he openly advocated violence. Today's professors like Jean Agnon continue this tradition, urging students toward protests and contentious politics to create political identity and commitment. This explains why college students joined violent 2020 uprisings they'd been systematically trained to join the revolution. Critical race theory applies Marxist analysis to contemporary America, positioning race as people's primary identifier within a hierarchy, placing whites on top and blacks at the bottom. Under CRT, all whites must acknowledge complicity in white supremacy and support indefinite race preferences. Derrick Bell, CRT's founder, rejected major civil rights advances, including Brown v. Board of Education and colorblindness, arguing they merely masked ongoing racism. He dismissed critics as steeped in theory and deathly afraid of experience, a circular argument where criticism itself proves systemic racism. Yet Dr. Wyatt T. Walker, Martin Luther King Jr.'s chief of staff, emphatically rejected CRT, arguing it separates even elementary school children into explicit racial groups, emphasizing differences instead of similarities. The 1619 Project reframes American history by claiming 1619 as America's true founding, rather than 1776. Despite reaching over 3,500 schools, five distinguished historians criticized its factual errors, including the false claim that the American Revolution was fought to preserve slavery. Environmental Marxism has evolved from advocating clean air into attacking capitalism through the degrowth movement, advocating societal shrinking that would reverse Industrial Revolution progress and restrict mobility, speech, food abundance, and energy. Modern media functions as propagandists for anti-Marxist agendas, ironically echoing Karl Marx himself, who weaponized journalism to shape news around ideology rather than report objectively. Today's mainstream journalists have abandoned traditional reporting for social activism, with the public journalism movement explicitly rejecting neutrality for fair-minded participation. This shift became explicit during Trump's candidacy when journalists openly advocated abandoning traditional standards to oppose him. The logical progression from indoctrination is repression. When Chuck Todd declared on Meet the Press that he wouldn't give time to climate deniers, he exemplified this approach. Meanwhile, America's colleges have become hotbeds of intolerance, where over 40% of academics wouldn't hire a Trump supporter, and over 90% of Trump supporting academics in social sciences feel uncomfortable expressing views to colleagues. Once proudly capitalist companies have surrendered to progressive ideology. Environmental social governance investing has become a powerful tool for enforcing ideological compliance, with major investment firms like BlackRock explicitly prioritizing ESG scores, effectively forcing companies to adopt progressive positions or risk losing capital. Big tech companies have emerged as particularly aggressive censors, wielding unprecedented power over public discourse, while consistently targeting conservative voices. Their coordinated destruction of Parler represented extraordinary tyranny, the willingness to eliminate competitors offering alternative platforms for speech. America's fate rests in daily choices of ordinary citizens, not Washington. Marxists have infiltrated institutions, armed forces, law enforcement, education, with 81% of education leaders backing Black Lives Matter. Children now learn to hate America through racist propaganda. But they can't control your refusal to comply. Take tactical action. Organize patriotic committees in school districts. Attend board meetings. Examine curricula. Demand transparency. Practice patriotic commerce. Support businesses aligned with American values. Boycott hostile corporations. When companies like Goya face leftist boycotts, rally with purchases. Boycott corporate media and big tech. Pressure financial entities to withdraw from Marxist movements. Push local governments to end taxpayer subsidies for anti-American institutions. General George S. Patton said, "Never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity." Each citizen must determine their role in saving the republic. The American experiment has always depended on citizens willing to defend it. That moment has arrived. We choose liberty, not because it's easy, but because the alternative is unthinkable.